we are still here. Just say to your neighbor, are you still awake? Yeah? I think one thing for me is just to honor these young people here that are so colorfully dressed. You know all of them. You have touched them somehow over the last 2 days. I'm talking about Pastor Austin's children. Yes, can we give them a good hand? They're doing a great job. And learning from you, Pastor Austin, I can see the character in them. It's awesome to witness. Let us pray a word with the Lord. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for just sustaining us and all the things that you deposit into our ears and into our hearts this morning. Will you help us through the Spirit to digest it, and empower us in the process for the season ahead. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was preparing for this trip, I come from Cape Town, South Africa. Bring you greetings from the church there and from the saints. And one morning I was waking up. I can't remember whether I was half awake or half asleep. You know, maybe you can help me. But it was half. I was half asleep, and I heard the words, movement in the Gulf. And I was thinking, why, which Gulf is this? And then the word Aden comes into my mind. And the Gulf of Aden is just off the shores of Ethiopia. So I know that we don't have representation from those countries there. But I believe that there is a movement of God about to happen in those nations. So if you will, you can rise with me and let us pray a short prayer of declaration to that area. We're talking about the countries of Ethiopia, Eritrea, Djibouti, Oman, Yemen, Saudi Arabia. Those are the countries, Somalia. We lift them up before the Lord now. And I don't know whether this is the right direction, but let us turn to this direction and trust the Lord that this direction, His Spirit will be released to that area, the Horn of Africa, the Gulf of Aden. So if you will say after me, let's make this declaration. Now, I know this is perhaps not the way you normally do it, but if you can have a look at me, let's do it this way. We are going to call forth the movement of God. Whatever it is, we don't know the exact details, but we know the Spirit of God is moving. So what I want you to do is, let us call forth the movement of God. Okay? So as you say after me, let us call forth the movement of God. Okay? So, Father, we call forth the movement of the Spirit over the Horn of Africa. Father, release your Spirit. Save the nations of Saudi Arabia, of Oman, of Yemen, of Eritrea, of Djibouti, of Somalia, of Ethiopia. Let your Spirit move in the Gulf of Aden in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I am with a ministry called Jericho Walls International Prayer Network. Some of you might remember Graham Power from the Global Day of Prayer. I think many of you know him, who passed on last year. Just want to honor him. And also Anya Letsatsi is here, who took over the prayer side of things on his behalf a year or two ago. And she's also here with us with the Global Voice of Prayer. And and then you might know Benny Mostert. Benny Mostert from South Africa, who used to be from Namibia. And he's actually the founder of Jericho Walls Prayer Network. That was way back in 1993, for those of you who were around. And so it is that over the last 30 years, the Lord has birthed something through various leaders. You can look at the missions world, the evangelist ministries of Reinhard Bonnke, all these leaders that were founder leaders of very strong ministries today, they are all handing over. This is a new season for leadership in the body of Christ, especially in the prayer movement. So we find ourselves not being founders, but being actually builders on the shoulders of the founders that went ahead of us. This is a different kind of leadership that we need to be aware of. But I'm here to talk about prayer and day and night prayer, that is. So I want to encourage you today around day and night prayer and what the Lord is doing in the world right now with this. But firstly, just to say that when you want to establish a work of the kingdom, whether it's planting a church or having a crusade, or planting a church or having a prayer ministry you want to start, any kingdom work, even a Christian business or any business or work of the kingdom, you need three elements in leadership to actually be able to plant it. And I believe this is the season for planting, for building. We had a long season of breaking down and or chopping up and all these things, but this is a season to build the house of God. And so I want to encourage you with this. Those three things, those three elements, the first one is a visionary. You've seen those visionaries in action over the last 2 days? Yes, their footsteps are all over here. The visionaries, they are meant to receive vision from God and they are meant to articulate it and share it so that people will understand where God is moving. Secondly, you need, every vision needs an implementer. This is a person or a team of people that can take the vision, receive the strategy from God, and implement the vision. It's not necessarily the same person. So the implementer is an important person. He works behind the scenes. He's dedicated. He's encouraged by the Holy Spirit. And he plants the work. He establishes it. And then thirdly, you need very important people. And those are the sustainers. These are people that would do the same simple task over and over again. And they will get much joy out of it. Without those people, you will not be able to sustain the work of the kingdom. So these things, key elements in leadership to establish a kingdom work, and it's same elements you need to establish an effective prayer ministry in your local church, in your town, in your community, wherever you are. Those three elements is key. And especially when it comes to day and night prayer. It's easy to set up day and night prayer, but it's a challenge to sustain it. You need to know how to go about it. When the fire falls, how do we sustain the fire? So here we see lots of vision running around. These 2 days, you are full of vision now. But as you walk out the door, it's time to implement. Time to implement. Vision without strategy will stay a vision unless it's implemented. So, just very briefly, this is what we do, and this is basically the calling for any prayer network in the body of Christ. This is the vision. Building a strong, broad-based prayer network to support the church to fulfill its calling. According to Isaiah 56, verse 7, my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. That simply means that the house of God should be open to all nations to pray together. But the house of God should also be a place where people can offer prayers on behalf of all nations. So both are relevant. So, next slide. Okay, so there's the mobilizing, informing, and equipping are the three mission, the mission strategy for any prayer network. You need to mobilize people, call them, envision them, And then you need to give them information that will help them to pray focusedly and effectively. And thirdly, you need to equip the body of Christ to pray. If Jesus will equip the disciples that walked with him daily, then surely we need to be equipped to pray. And this is task of the local church, a task of the discipleship movement to disciple our new believers to pray. I haven't found any other more effective tool for your young disciples in the Lord to grow spiritually than 24/7 prayer. You engage them in a 24/7 prayer cycle with 1 hour a day, reading the Bible and praying. You will see how much they grow within 1 year. It's almost, you can't believe what God will do with a person like that. But it's a personal prayer altar, praying 1 hour a day in your inner closet and reading the Bible. It's a very basic thing of Christianity, of a Christian's life to grow in. So, 2012 was a very significant year. I mean, the turn of the century was also very amazing. How God was establishing huge, huge prayer ministries around the world. But the year 2012, I had the privilege of attending the World Prayer Assembly in Indonesia. You guys must stop me when I go over my time. That one is a bit blurry. So I was in the World Prayer Assembly in Indonesia, in Jakarta. Whom of you were there? 2012. We were 50 delegates from South Africa attending that conference. A conference of 9,000 delegates from all over the world gathering together with a prayer agenda to pray for the nations of the world and to share. And that time was so amazing. After this conference, there was a vision shared that we picked up on, and the vision was this: a call to the nation, to the local church, to take 1 week per year to pray night and day for revival among the nations of the world. This was the call going out. We picked up on it. We came back to South Africa and we started implementing this call. The Lord gave us strategy, and from January 2013, we started rolling out this weekly prayer initiative. During that year, 2013, we had on average 8 congregations per day that registered to take part in that initiative throughout the year in South Africa. So it was 8 congregations daily, weekly, praying night and day for the whole year. And then suddenly, we find ourselves, the Lord raising up people and connecting the body of Christ. This was before COVID. And then suddenly, local prayer network starting. This is groups of churches in a local community that comes together, their leaders, and they say, we want to pray day and night as the body of Christ for revival in our community. So they would share vision for a week of prayer, and they would put their efforts together, they would put the platform in place and so forth, and then they would connect with one another and have a coordinator, and they would pray for these weeks. And then this happened. In Cape Town itself, this spread quite widely. Within the next number of years, about 9 years, there was 100 groups established all over South Africa. And they all prayed more or less 24/7 on a regular basis. Some of them, about 20 of them, would pray constantly at the moment. They pray all the time. Others, they would pray for these 7 strategic weeks in a year that I will mention just now. And they would engage in that, most of them. But at that time, we also had in Cape Town some sort of a growth in 24/7 prayer in the city of 4 million people. We had a developing over a few years. We have now about 12 constant, continuous prayer altars in the city, praying all the time. Half of them was birthed at the beginning of lockdown in the COVID season, where suddenly there was an increase in prayer. And we saw that suddenly, where we had these altars of prayer in physical locations, the lockdown, we also had to close our personal prayer closet in Cape Town. We had to close the physical place. because of the lockdown. And suddenly, what do? Then we add the people on the WhatsApp group. They still log in for their hours, but they pray at home. So hour by hour they prayed, there was about 30 people praying at our house of prayer physically. But after that, when the lockdown came, suddenly we're on a find ourselves praying at home from hour to hour on a WhatsApp group. And suddenly people from other places in the country heard about it and they start joining the group. So now we have 80 to 100 people praying 24/7, 24/7, hour by hour, week by week. They are praying non-stop for revival. The problem is now, after COVID, it's very difficult to get people back to the prayer room physically. But some of them want to return, so they come. But we don't want to lose the other 80 that is on the group in other places in the country. So we say, no, the Lord wants to raise a canopy of day and night prayer all over the nation. Let's not restrict Him to one specific place. If there is enough people in that physical location to pray day and night constantly, then for sure, we have seen it, we have tasted it for 3 years. People praying in a small room for 24/7 for 3 years long. We've seen it, we've tasted it. It's something different than just a prayer meeting. So I want to encourage you this morning around this. Then last year it grew suddenly across the border of South Africa and we found ourselves in Africa. And we prayed and Lord opened up some doors and then we continued. You can continue with the slide. So here is the vision for the what we today call the one that was birthed in World Prayer Assembly called 7 Days on the Wall. So it's 1 week where a church or a prayer network or a 24/7 group can register to pray for revival in the community and in the world. We have different themes for that, but that is the basic focus. So then, how do we do this? There are three promises that God gives. Three promises. It's the only time in the scriptures that God would guarantee a move of the Spirit when His people will pray day and night. It's just the one thing that God asks of His people. He says, if you would cry to me day and night, I will send you revival. And there's three promises connected to this statement. In the first promise is in Isaiah 62 verse 6 and 7, where God promises that He will transform the city of Lagos when they cry to Him day and night. He says in that scripture, I've set watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem, maybe Lagos also. They will never be silent. They will continue to remind me of my promises until I come and make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. That simply means that God wants to stir your heart. He wants to change your heart. He wants to make you a beautiful person. So that when people come to visit Lagos, they will say, I don't want to leave here. These people are so nice. They're so friendly. God is living here. I want to stay right here. That's what when God makes your city a praise in the earth. Turn to your neighbor and say to him, you are made in the image of God. You look like Jesus. You are beautifully made. Ah, now I see those men looking at one another and say, you are beautifully made. Nice, you guys. Maybe this is a new season. Appreciating the image of Christ in one another, whether you are male or female. Yes. Anyhow, I know about protocols, don't worry. Okay, then, so that is transforming cities. The second promise we find is in Luke 18, verse 7 and 8. You know this chapter about the widow? I don't know why Jesus used a widow as an example. You can help me? You guys that are married, you should know the secret, right? So, if your wife comes to you with a request, and you deny her a request, just give it up, right? Because she will come a second time, a third time. She will ask until you change your mind. Yes. So Jesus talks about the widow. And he says, no. He talks to his disciples, the chosen ones, the future apostles of the church. And he tells them, I want to tell you this story so that you will know that you should pray continuously. There is a space in the Spirit that you can achieve, that you can walk with the Spirit day and night as an individual. Some of you know this. You can, it's possible for you to walk in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit constantly. One day an Egyptian young man came to me. He asked me this question. He said, you know, when I wake up in the morning, my friends tell me I am talking in my sleep. I'm praying in my sleep. I say, what? Never heard of this before. He said, but he just wants to know whether this is from God. So I said to him, you know, I think God has just so much infiltrated your subconscious mind and your dream world so that you even pray when you are sleeping. Because the Bible says your heart is awake. Your heart doesn't sleep. It's your body that sleeps. So it's possible for one person to pray all the time. And that's what Jesus was aiming for. But then he says, he gives a promise to the lady, to the widow. And he says, and he talks to his disciples. He says, and shall not God, who is a righteous God, shall he not give you justice when you cry to him day and night? He will do it, and he will do it quickly. We have seen some of this happening. Just the other day, about 6 months ago, let me come to that later. The third promise is in Acts 15, verse 16 and 17. This is a promise that talks about the reaching of the nations, salvation of nations. I know Reinhard Bonnke and these guys, they would send in prayer teams before their crusades and they would pray, not simple prayer, they would take the Bible. They will read it out loud and establish an altar in the place of the crusade for 2 weeks. They will pray the word of God day and night, declaring it into the atmosphere of that city, preparing the way and the hearts of the people for the gospel message to come. Yes. So this is it. Acts 15 verse 16 says, in the last days I will come and I will restore the tabernacle of David. I will raise it up again so that the remnant of men may come into my kingdom. Through the scripture, God is saying, in the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon you, my church. They will worship me. They will sing unto me new songs. They will pray and call upon my name. They will, 1 hour will be too short for them. They will want to continue to worship and call on my name day and night. And while I do this with my church in the last days, I will draw the people into my kingdom. So you think that you are just attending a worship service on a Sunday morning. God has another plan. While you are worshiping, God is preparing the lost to come into his kingdom. So your worship on a Sunday morning is a form of spiritual warfare. And you're just singing. God is moving. So, let me engage quickly. Then, you can change the slide, please. Yeah. Okay. Okay, next one. Okay, that's okay. So, our main motivation for day and night prayer comes out of this story. And this explains the promise of God for salvation of nations. 300 years ago, more or less, there was a place called Herrenhut in Europe. Small community, it was actually a farm, a piece of land. And there was a man called Count Zinzendorf living on this land. He was a nobleman. And you know what happened? There was a group of about 300 Christians from different backgrounds. They fled persecution by the church of the day. And they ended up on this man's land. And he had pity on them. He gave them lodging. They said they could stay on the land. They can make their home there. So then as this community develops, they started fighting with one another. You know about what? About doctrinal issues in the Bible. Interpretation of the Bible. So it went so bad that the count called them together and said, no, this cannot be like this. Christians cannot fight like this about the Bible. So he asked them, what is the things you agree upon? So they wrote down the things they agree upon. He said, from today onwards, we will talk about these things and not about the other things that we differ about. Yes? We always have to speak to the upliftment of the other person. Even if you are rebuking him, he must feel, wow, I'm shifting, but I don't feel bad. But this is the thing. So he spoke to them, they became, and the Spirit of the Lord came after they started repenting. And then one day, a young girl, she was a teenage girl, she started to pray. The Spirit of God moved upon her. And she started calling the children to pray. And at night, people, at night she would take the children into the bush. Yes, teenager, taking the children into the bush and they would pray through the night. And the men would see the children praying and they would start their nights of prayer. And then at some point, as they were walking to the chapel for a communion service, they were still walking and confessing the things that they did wrong and offended one another during the day, because they sensed something is about to happen of the Spirit of God and they did not want to hinder him. You want to prepare the way for the Spirit of God? Make sure your heart is clean before you enter the sanctuary. And so, when they entered the sanctuary and they were serving communion, the Spirit of God came and shook the place. The wind came and the place was ignited with the fire of God. And then I imagine they asked themselves the question, how are we going to sustain this fire? Now God is in our midst. He came, how are we going to sustain this? Because revivals come and go, you know. Revivals come and go. We need to sustain revival fire. So they decided, we're going to pray day and night. So 24 men, 24 women decided to pray 1 hour per day. 1 hour per day. 24 women, only 24 women, 24 men. And they started praying around the clock. And from that time, for 125 years, if I'm correct, they continued to pray like that. Can you imagine 120 years, three generations later, the children grew up in the house of prayer. And from generation to generation, they learned how to pray from their father and mothers. And so it grew. They say that, and this is what happens. They say that while this promise is going into fulfillment, while they were doing this, the Lord moved upon them with a compassion for the lost nations of the world. And then at some point, the desire became so strong that two young men decided they're going to sell themselves as slaves to go beyond their country to the nations of the world to preach the gospel. They didn't have money to go. That was the only way they could get abroad, was to sell themselves into slavery. But they left. They said goodbye to their families. They didn't know whether they would return, and they left. And they were the first fruits of many missionaries that were sent out from that small community. And if I've got the statistic right, it says this, that in the first 25 years of that prayer altar, that small community sent out more missionaries to the ends of the world than the whole Protestant movement could do in the previous 400 years. And that was the birth of the modern day mission movement. I found that when people pray day and night, when the Spirit is awake, they receive visions and dreams, and the Lord starts speaking to them about His heart. And He downloads His heart for them. Once He do that, they just need to act. See, you don't want to act in the flesh. You need to act when God speaks. Then you will see the fruit that God wants to give. So in this time, it's a time to humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, here I am. I'm just a vessel. You are the King of Kings. And so just to mention two things. Last year, there was a breakthrough coming out of these 7 weeks of prayer. I remember we had the 1 week where there was about 25 countries out of Africa participating, South Asia, and a special week of prayer connecting Africa with Europe. And then the theme was Nations Redeemed. So the focus for that week was to pray for reconciliation between Africa and Europe and pray for the release of the gospel from Africa back to Europe. For the seven nations in Europe that participated, each having their own 24/7 group praying during that week, they were the seven nations that was responsible for many things in Africa, but responsible for bringing the gospel to Africa. And so we connected them with the nations in Africa where they actually came. And we prayed for those two nations per day that was connected to the gospel seed that was planted in Africa. And after that week, something significant happened. The government of the Netherlands in Europe, the country that was mostly responsible for the slave trade in Africa, decided to issue an apology. To issue an apology to the world and to Africa for their role in the enslavement of Africa. They decided to open a fund to raise a fund to somehow give a seed of restitution for what happened. And above that, they decided to build a museum where the slavery of the past will be remembered. And so this is something significant that happened after a week of prayer focusing on reconciliation between the continents. Another thing that happened was a week of prayer for daily bread. The theme was daily bread, but we prayed for the food scarcity in the world, but we also prayed for the Word of God in every language made available around the world. We connected a network with a Bible translating ministry called The Word for the World in South Africa, and they raised up their own workers to pray 24/7 on a WhatsApp group together with all the other nations that prayed for the Bible to be translated into every language. And you know what happened? After that week of prayer, this was last July, in December they told me that in the last 6 months, their work has grown by 50% compared to where it was 6 months before the week of prayer. Now imagine you have 20 Bible translation ministries around the world taking hands, collaborating, each having their own 24/7 group, praying focusedly for 1 week for the Bible to be translated into every language around the world. If every one of them will grow by 30%, you think we will be close to the target? I think so. Because it's the heart of God. Yes, so just the last thing I want to close with. I'm going to just show you a video with like an invitation to a week of prayer coming up soon. And this will also give you some reflection of what has happened through the 7 days on the world since World Prayer Assembly. Thank you. We need some sound there. Those of you that can interpret tongues, please do it for us. Oh my goodness. Okay, not to worry. It will come. It will come. All good things come to those who wait. And I can see you guys are tired of waiting. You've been waiting for 2 days now. You must be tired, but don't worry. Something good is coming. Even if it's not this, it's going to be lunchtime. Don't worry. Okay, perhaps we can just get an indication whether there is some solution coming. It's coming. Oh, okay. Let's just start at the beginning, please.
Good day, everyone. My name is Daniel. I'm a director of Washington International Training for PMEK Summit. Today, I'm just sharing with you the wonderful things that God is doing in our day through day and night prayer. And so, I want to invite you to join us for the week of prayer in February with the theme, What's Wrong? The 13th or the 19th of February will be a time of 7 days of focused day and night prayer for the challenges we face today in our community. Things are things like crime, violence, the load shedding, all these things that we feel very close to our lives at the moment. But we're going to trust the Lord. Jesus says in Revelation 7 and 8, he speaks to his disciples, and he explains that God is a righteous God, and that he is a judge that seeks justice for his chosen ones when they cry to him day and night. The verse says, and will not God bring about justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. This is what Jesus is saying to his disciples, encouraging them to pray continuously. During this week of prayer in February, the 13th or the 19th, we will be at focus groups all over the continent and even in the South Asian world, where we will trust the Lord to move in our local community and that we will bring justice. He encourages us. Last year we had a wonderful week of prayer called the Daily Prayer, where we focused on the fruits of each in the world. It was an amazing week, and suddenly after the week of prayer, as we trusted the Lord for that breakthrough to prayer, suddenly there was an agreement made 3 days after the week of prayer between the World Department releasing the 20 million tons of grain in the harbor of Odessa that was meant for the country. This is what our God does. When we seek Him for justice, He brings the justice into our area. And so I want to encourage you this week of prayer in February with a theme by God. God is saying, I know your situation, I know what you're going through, I know the uncomfortability of all the things around you, but I am your judge and I can decide on your behalf. Let us seek Him for this breakthrough in our little community.
Okay, so someone is telling me, where does this go? You know, these strategists, they always want to know what's happening. So, we are trusting the Lord that this vision will grow and that more networks in different countries will be established, or even existing networks or 24-hour houses of prayer would engage in focused prayer for revival. We are very much aware of the agreement of prayer. So we are sending out information for all these weeks of prayer with the different teams, etc., so that we all, in every country, can agree in prayer for these issues. So I want to invite you to be part of this. There's about 25 countries in Africa that have done these weeks of prayer before. Some of them are praying constantly. There's a group in Burundi and in Tanzania. They pray all the time. They don't stop. They just have a special week coming where they can engage new people and encourage people to focus and so on. But this is spreading across. And can you imagine, we shared about the 2033 vision this morning, where the church will be 2,000 years old. Can you imagine by the year 2033, this is what Jason taught me when I met him for the first time there in California a few months ago. He totally ripped my vision apart. He just said, no, Daniel, this is not big enough, man. You need to think bigger than this. So I thought bigger. And then I discovered, you know, if it's the hand of God that moves, anything is possible. So my expectation must be beyond what I think is possible. So then the Lord put it on my heart that by the year 2033, it must be possible that every nation around the world can be prayed for night and day. In that very nation, people from the nation praying, people from other nations praying for them. Because in some countries, they can't do it by themselves. This is what is happening. So I want to encourage you with that. I put a few cards on the table. You will see them. This card, the Power Hour. For those who have it, this card, the Power Hour. Just briefly, the man is waiting for me. This Power Hour, this actually, I met a man on the aeroplane from Cape Town to Pretoria. And he was the editor of one of the three main newspapers in Tanzania. So I got to talk with him, and he asked me, what am I doing? I said, in the prayer ministry. He says, okay. And he thinks a bit, and he says, I'm Christian, but can you tell me how to pray? And after 20 years in the prayer movement, I couldn't answer this man. And I said, just give me a moment, and I asked the Lord for an answer. And then I pulled out this bag. I didn't have any paper with me, that bag that you use when your stomach is not well. I pulled the bag out and I wrote on it, and this is what I wrote on the paper, so that this man can have some guideline on how to spend time in effective prayer. So those guidelines, you can find it with scripture at the back and so forth. It's so easy to use. I used it once and now I can do it anywhere, in an aeroplane, wherever I travel. I can use it whenever I don't know what to pray. This I can return to. So there's two other cards there as well. And then, of course, I want to encourage you. This booklet is written by a famous author. His name is Jason Hubbard. I take the liberty of advertising your book. And this, you can find it on Amazon, right? And its name is The Moravian Miracle. You can buy this book. Checks the statistics that I shared this morning, if it's accurate. It's all in here, the whole story. So please go and look for this book by Jason Hubbard, The Moravian Miracle. And with that, I need to pray and say thank you. Father, we bless you. We thank you for your grace of time, and that even time is in your hands. Lord, I pray for this morning, for everyone here, that you will give us grace to open our eyes and our hearts, Lord, that we will be like the Habakkuk 2, verse 1, watchmen on the walls, and that we will watch to see, to wait upon the Lord, to see and to hear, and that you will open our eyes, open our ears, so we can hear you, Lord, and that we can pray according to your divine will for our communities and our nations. I bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah. Wow, thank you, Daniel, for that wonderful presentation. We trust God that where 247 prayer is non-existent in your nation, it will start. And where it is already existing, it will be sustained. In Jesus' name. All right, please, will you join me? Welcome Kaneta Rutley for her presentation. Please give her a good welcome.
Praise the Lord. What a privilege to be standing before you today. And Daniel, what a powerful presentation. I was so blessed just to see how the Lord is moving and working, but how there is so much intersectionality, and we can affirm how God is speaking as he is moving in fulfillment of the Great Commission. I am from the Seed Company. We are based in Arlington, Texas, in the United States, and we are a Bible translation organization. I'm going to present before you briefly, and hopefully they are getting my slide deck together now, because I think that I am standing between you and your lunch, and so I don't want to be a threat to your tummies today. But as they get those slides together, I just want to encourage everyone today about who we are as an organization and what this movement is about. I think we can all agree, because we are here right now, that we are experiencing some of our greatest days as a global church. Amen? Every disciple and intercessor under the sound of my voice, I think we can all affirm that we are experiencing one of the greatest times to be alive as disciples. The greater the persecution, the greater the trial, tribulation that the church experiences, the greater the opportunity for the gospel to be advanced. The more the earth travails like childbirth pains, like a woman in labor, the greater the opportunity for someone to receive the word of God and the proclamation of the truth in their lives. And so that's the moment that we stand in. And so we at Seed Company, we don't believe that the greatest problem in the world as believers is governmental corruption. We don't believe that terrorism is the greatest problem that we are facing. We don't believe that syncretism or even tribalism are our issues that are the greatest things that are troubling us today. The greatest problem that we are experiencing is spiritual bankruptcy. And the reason we are experiencing spiritual bankruptcy is because we have Bible poverty. And so Seed Company exists in addition to other Bible translation organizations, as was mentioned just previously. It's because we exist to eradicate Bible poverty. That everyone would have access to the scriptures in a language and format that they can understand. And so in doing that and understanding what we're doing from a translation perspective, then we can be informed on how to pray. And so the Pray for Zero movement is an initiative that I'll speak about in just a moment. But I want to give some context, because I don't believe that everyone has an understanding of what Seed Company actually does. And so in order to understand that, then you can be able to pray with us. You can advance it to the next slide. And so the Seed Company, keep going. We are a company and an organization that exists Bible translation. We want to fulfill the work of Bible translation, but not just to translate the scriptures in a format and language that people can understand. We want to do that so that their lives can be transformed. The Word of God tells us that whom the Son sets free, he is free indeed. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away and all things have become new. The only way that someone can experience that in its fullness is if they have encountered the scriptures for themselves. And so our desire is that every single person, every tribe, every language would experience the Word of God in both Greek and Hebrew in their heart language. And so we want to accelerate scripture translation and impact people for that without God's Word. We have to do it because we are doing so through Great Commission partnerships. We can't do this without collaboration. If we were to try to do the work of Bible translation alone, it would take at least 125 years to finish this work. We don't have time for that, do we? This is a time for urgency, and we want to walk in that urgency and be praying into that so that we can see all the languages that are still remaining to be completed in this decade. And so you can advance it to the next slide. Thank you. And so these are just some of the organizations and Bible translation ministries that we partner with globally. We partner with them in a group that is called the Every Tribe, Every Nation Alliance. And so we form together, we pull together our resources, our manpower, our prayers, we intercede, we partner together to fuel the Bible translation movement globally. And so what our vision is, we are praying and believing that every single language in the world today, by 2025, will have a translation project started by the year 2025. We are believing God for that because the movement has already been taking place and God has been doing a transformational work in every nation that we currently exist. And we've been doing this since 1993. We've worked with over 1,800 languages in 134 countries. And so God has been doing a powerful work through translation consultants and through field project managers to bring the Word of God to those who need it most. And so what we're doing in order to reach that 2025-year goal, our desire is that there would be 200 languages every year, new projects. We need to start that annually in order to reach that goal, and we are on track to do that. And so we're so excited about how God is moving. The Lord has just been faithful in this work, and you can go ahead and advance that slide. This is just a map that talks about some of the translation needs. We're focusing, of course, on Africa. Wow. There are over 1 billion people right now who are still in need of God's Word, who have no access to Scripture or a full Bible in their language. Can you imagine, as those who have access, wanting to understand God's love for you, or opening your Bible that you have access to and the pages be blank? And so this is the experience for those who have not encountered God's Word for themselves. And this is the desire that we have, that they would experience that. And so in Africa, total, there are over 16 million who are still waiting. And we are praying that God would continue to empower those who are in the hardest to reach places. They're the hardest to reach for a reason, because there is much persecution in these areas. There are often challenges of power outages and things that delay projects from happening. The lives of those who are translating the Scriptures being threatened and some taken. There are great sensitivities and complexities around how this process works. And so we have translation consultants who are working diligently to not only make sure that the Scriptures are accurate, but we want to make sure that there is an efficacy to how the Scriptures are being translated, so that people are experiencing the Word of God as it was written in its original translation. And so our prayer is that we would see the Revelation 7:9 vision, hallelujah, that every tribe, tongue, and nation will worship before the throne. But that can only happen as we are encountering God's Word and people can have an understanding of what God says about them. That He came to die for them, that He came to redeem the nations to Himself. And so our job as intercessors is to pray for zero. And so that's what I'm here to talk about today. The Seed Company exists to translate the Scriptures and accelerate it through innovation. That's one of our core values, is to be innovative in how we get translation to people, because we understand that if we are delayed in any way, that impacts how and when people can receive the gospel. And we know that a delay means that a soul is at stake. And so we want to make sure that we are doing everything in our power as the Lord enables us to get the Scriptures to those who need it. And so our vision in Pray for Zero essentially means that we are praying that there are zero languages without Scripture. That's our prayer. That's the goal that we are looking for as we look at these 1 billion who are still waiting. as we look for over 1,600 languages that have not yet been translated into a full Bible. We are praying that God's word for everyone in our generation is accelerated by millions who are united in prayer. You know, we understand that across the continent of Africa, God is already moving. There's already a powerful movement of intercession for the nations. There's already a powerful prayer culture here in Nigeria. But can we pray for zero? Can we pray that there are no languages without scripture, that the word of God that you have access to, that someone else can have access to it as well? That they too can be changed, that they can experience breakthrough and deliverance, and God change their heart from within. And then they can multiply and share the word of God with someone else who needs it. And so one of my favorite quotes begins by saying, there's no great movement of God that happens apart from prayer. The reason why Jesus told that parable of the persistent widow was to encourage us to understand that we have to pray and not faint, that we have to pray and not lose heart. And so I love this where he says, there's no great movement of God that has ever occurred that does not begin with the extraordinary prayer of God's people. The time is now for us to come together before God in clear agreement, visible union, and an extraordinary prayer for the next great awakening for the world to be reached for Christ. And so the understanding is that we are not dealing with a problem with church planting or evangelism per se. The problem that we're dealing with is awakening a sleeping generation. For those who don't understand the importance and the urgency of praying for the Bibleists. And so we want a holistic view of what Great Commission fulfillment looks like. The beauty of the Pray for Zero team that has formed now. Some of you in this room know my colleague and Solomon Lujan, who is overseeing Pray for Zero Asia, and God is doing an awesome work. He was just in South Korea where thousands of young people experienced revival and committed to praying for zero themselves. And we're excited about that. We want to see that kind of movement in Africa. How can we partner with you all as you already understand that there is an urgency to pray for the nations and for revival? We want to pray that every language gets translated, that every barrier will be removed, and that God's word would flow and that his word would run swiftly to those who are waiting. And so this video is very short, but I want to allow this to be a perspective shifter for those who may not have seen this. The Rendele people in Kenya received a New Testament in their own language. And the rejoicing that happened once they received this is indescribable. And I wanted to share this with you as a vision for what we pray the remaining languages in Africa will experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We can rejoice when someone experiences God's word for the first time. Hallelujah. We're so grateful. And so we are praying fervently. We are praying unceasingly for the Bible translation need. As I was saying, 1 billion people speaking over 6,000 languages. They're still waiting for the scriptures. They don't have a full Bible in their language. And there are 145 million that are speaking roughly about 1,800 languages that are still needing a translation project to begin. Here in Africa, that represents about 558 languages. And so we're praying for that, that God would continue to move in this way. Right now, Seed Company, now other translation organizations may have different numbers because of the projects they're actively working on. But 50% of our projects now are happening right here on the continent of Africa. And we are so thankful for what God is doing here. In Nigeria, we have 178 languages in progress with a projected 177 to begin. Can we worship God for that? Now, let me tell you something that might surprise you. 70% of the translators of the Bible in Nigeria are Muslim. I wanted to share a testimony that some of our partners who are actively doing this work, and we partner with local ministries on the ground who fuel this work. Just in the last week, one of our translation clusters, and due to the sensitivity, we can't mention the name, but as these Muslim translators were translating the scriptures, they themselves asked, "What must I do to be saved?" And so within the last week, four translators gave their lives to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we are grateful that Africa will be saved. And even through these unconventional ways by which the scriptures are being translated by those who are working with consultants, we are so grateful that God is doing the transformation within them. And so the need is that we would have a translation project begun by 2025 in every language, a global force of intercessors who are committed to pray for zero. We're praying that pastors and leaders would catch the vision of the full scope of the Great Commission. Yes, continue to proclaim the gospel. Yes, continue to make disciples. Yes, continue to plant churches. But don't forget the Bibleists. Remember those who are still waiting for scripture in their language. We're praying that there will be churches ignited to pray for every unreached language and a multiplying force that would invite the local church to continue to grow this movement. What happens when we delay? Matthew 24:14 reminds us that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout all the whole world as a testimony to the nations. And then the end will come. We want the gospel to reach everyone, but we don't want this to be delayed because of our inability to pray and our unwillingness to focus on prayer in a sense of urgency so that God can move among the nations. And so I love that we were just talking about 24/7 prayer. There's a global network of prayer that also has been started called the Unceasing Prayer Movement. We've been joining together for about a year now to fill 365 days and 24/7 hours a day and days a week in prayer for the Bibleists. And God has been moving. And so I'm so encouraged when I hear about God's people surrendering themselves to praying without ceasing and watching God move. And so as we're praying, we're seeing testimonies come forth on the field of what God is doing among those who are still translating the languages and experiencing many different difficulties. Those who have been spared after they've been in impending danger. God has been doing such a powerful work, and we're so grateful for that. So we are doing so. We're wanting to advance this work through resources and equipping the church to pray. And so we have prayer guides and different resources that help to contextualize how you can be praying for your specific region and area of impact. We also are doing some things, trying to be more innovative. We're going to be launching a new website called PrayForZero.com. This website is going to be a robust experience of all things prayer for the Bibleists. And so if you want to be informed on the languages that are still waiting, you want to be informed on real-time and specific prayer needs and regional aspects of prayer, you want to follow us. you want to connect with us on PrayForZero.com. This is a new website that's going to be launching any day now. We've been in development of this for months. One of the things that we're also going to be doing is launching a podcast called the Pray for Zero Podcast. This is going to be a platform that invites great commission conversations that help us to be more sensitive to what God is doing among the nations, because oftentimes we aren't understanding what really happens until we are hearing these active testimonies of those who are serving on the field and bringing the word of God to those who need it. And so how do you become part of the Pray for Zero movement? Well, we really want to partner with what you're doing. But there's an easy way to follow us and connect with us. We do it by QR code for those who are able to do so on their cell phones. But you can join the Pray for Zero movement. Once that site is active, you'll be able to sign a prayer wall and show where you are representing this movement of prayer from in your place in the world. And so we want to see a huge mobilization of intercessors in Africa. Our first goal is 1 million intercessors praying for the Bibleists. Can we believe God for 1 million together? Hallelujah. And not just that, we want to disciple and equip and help to enrich the prayer experience through what we are offering in terms of our resources. And so we're praying that we will have 250,000 prayer leaders and ambassadors. We want folks to come in, not just as advocates of the Bibleists, but to be ambassadors for the Bibleists, to be a voice for those who are still waiting. And so you can adopt the language as a church body or as a ministry and invite others to join. And you can also commit to an unceasing prayer hour. The beauty of this is that you can join the unceasing prayer hour virtually, or you can man an hour and sign up on unceasingprayer.bible. And that will give you an opportunity to pray wherever you are, in your small group, in your spheres of influence, in your family. We just want to cover the earth in prayer for the Bibleists, and we want to cover every language until all have heard. Amen? And so we can pray now. We can pray now that God will release his word, that the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. We want to pray that pastors and leaders here in Nigeria and across the continent of Africa, that they would catch and hold and implement the full vision of the Great Commission, that we would be praying for those who don't have the Word of God in their language. We want to pray that we would have those who will adopt a language and commit those people to prayer until they have the full scriptures in their language. Some people just have the Gospels or the book of Acts. And every word of God, every part of the scriptures is transformational and tells us about who God is. But we believe that everyone should have access to the full counsel of God's word. And we want to pray for every barrier of progress and all dominions of darkness to be shut down as we get to zero together. Can we pray together corporately? Let's stand together just briefly and call out to God as we go before him for the Bibleists. We enjoy praying in aroma-style prayer, and we just cry out to God together, one voice corporately, on behalf of those who are still waiting for the word of God. And so let's pray together now as we believe God for zero. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you and we thank you. We give you honor and glory. Lord, you said ask and you would make the nations our inheritance. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are moving among the nations and using your disciples. You are using those who you have called to translate the scriptures in a language that your children can understand. Father, bring change. Bring transformation. Do what only you can do. Remove every barrier. Every barrier that you have that's been set up, oh God. Lord, that you would bring that transformation in their lives and that you would change their hearts through the truth of your word. Father, we bind the enemy in every attack that he seeks to devise against those who are still waiting and those who are working towards this effort to bring your name glory, that you would be made known among the nations. Lord, may we know you and make you known. Lord, we will praise you, we will worship you, we will glorify you for all the things that you continue to do. Father, move by your Spirit. Lord, we thank you in advance that all will experience your word as it is promised. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus we do pray. Amen and amen. Shout amen if you believe. Hallelujah.
Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord. Yeah, we thank God for that presentation.